Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today in the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're keeping on with our Black Widow series from 2020 by Kelly Thompson, Elena Casagrande, and Jordi Belair. Let's go. If you're an astute follower of the YouTube channel specifically, you'll notice that we have not changed shirts.
It was by plan.
I'll let you decide why that may be.
If you listened to the last episode, you know.
Yeah. We've been hanging out already, so I'm not going to ask Drew how he's doing, I know.
How are you guys doing? We'd love to find out, and if you join our Discord, you can tell us.
Where can they find our Discord, Drew?
Link in the description.
Yeah.
Check the show notes for the podcast. Check the description for YouTube.
All the pertinent links.
If there's a way to put a link right here on YouTube, it will be there.
Right there. I hope you're pointing at a wall where there's nothing.
I don't actually know because I don't mess with it once it gets into YouTube. So there won't be a link right here.
I can if you give me the links, I can put them up there. We don't have a lot because we're doing that, but we do have some what you've been reading, We didn't explode all of the last episode. Drew, what have you been reading,
In preparation for this episode, we were originally like, dude, we've never covered Spider-Man. So we were doing some research, looking into some Spider-Man stories. And but then we were like, wait, the Black Widow movie is about to come out, which if you're listening to this on release day, it is out. It's been out for a few days.
Has it?
Well, because this one will be out next Monday.
Ah, yeah. Because we already have one
so, in the pipeline. I hope you enjoyed the movie. If you haven't watched it, go check it out. We're going to be watching it, or we will have watched it already.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm getting away from myself. We should have talked about that on the last episode.
Well, time travel is your hobby. It's hard to sit your hobbies down.
So I, in preparation, I read something that Alex recommended, the Spider-Man story from the 80s or 90s. I can't remember what it was. Kraven's Last Hunt.
Yeah.
It was with Peter Parker was in his black outfit.
Which was a big deal.
Which I remember. And I don't remember the significance because I literally only read those six books. It was interesting. I'm not going to go into it too much. I mean, I found it interesting. But after I finished it, I was like, maybe it'd be more fun to cover Miles Morales, which we still hope to do at some point.
I will say Kraven's Last Hunt is regarded by many as like one of the top Spider-Man stories of all time.
I can see how, I mean, there was a lot of really creative things about it, which as I was reading it reminded me of the other thing I've been reading, I read the 5 or 6 issue arc of Court of Owls, Batman. Mm. And in that same thing, like there's a moment where Batman and Spider-Man in both of these two stories seem to be going through like an identity crisis, kind of a hallucinatory identity thing where things just start mutating around them. And I was like, man, these two are actually kind of similar in that context.
Cool.
Maybe be interesting to do an episode comparing talking about those two. But yeah, I've read some other stuff, but I'll go on those in the next episode.
Cool.
What you been reading, yo?
I've, again, keeping on my usuals, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I'm still up to here in X-Men comic books that I'm trying to knock out. But one of my favorite stories, and I touched on this a little bit a couple weeks ago, this Strange Adventures book, Drew will put this. This is Strange Adventures number 10 by Tom King, Mitch Gerards, and Evan Shaner. Is so good, and this issue especially.
So good.
So good. I think that's probably going to be a thing now from now on.
It's been a thing. At this point, it will have already been in the episode, if you're watching YouTube, two or three times.
Yeah. Issue 10 out of 12, they're wrapping this up, but this issue in particular kind of had some bombshells as far as that. And I was seeing reviews about this before I was waiting for mine to come in the mail. This is one of the few stories that I'm actually still buying floppies for. I only allow myself 3 stories at a time, so I don't drown me in comics and my bank account in the lake. So good. Tom King is quickly rising to the top of one of my favorite writers. He's just so creative. It's grounded and like very as realistic as superheroes can be, you know, real human problems. And that speaks to a lot of people. I think that's why he keeps bringing life into relatively, you know, B and C list characters. You know, I would argue that he's done a Batman story relatively recently, so that's definitely not a B list character. But the Vision, you know, before his run on it was kind of like a, oh, well, there's the Vision. And of course, there have been moments with the West Coast Avengers and all these other historic moments with Vision that are great, but his Vision run was like truly fantastic. If you want to check those out, maybe we'll remember to put some links in the descriptions there. One of our favorite runs we've covered.
Maybe we won't.
Maybe not. But he's doing this Strange Adventures book, which is all about Adam Strange, which I would wager that most casual DC fans don't even know who that is.
I can confirm that fact.
Yeah. He's a cool character. He's kind of a, we've talked about him before. He's kind of a space rocketeer, shoot him up, stand back, alien kind of thing. But they lean into it a little bit in this book, and it works. He's also wrapping up a Rorschach comic book right now that I want to read. I think he's got like a handful of issues left. And
I've seen that on DC Universe and thought about reading it.
Yeah, again, like not a super, even in, he's, I guess, popular in the Watchmen universe, but if I told my mom I'm reading a Rorschach comic, she wouldn't know who that was. You know, he just does some cool stuff with some cool characters. I've heard his Miracle Man run, another character that not a lot of people know about, I don't think, is truly incredible.
Yeah, I keep meaning to read Mr. Miracle, and I never do.
Yeah, is it Mr. Miracle or Miracle Man?
I thought it was Mr. Miracle.
I can't remember. You might be right. Yeah. That just goes to show you that I'm not super keen on the characters as far as knowing their backgrounds or their history, but because Tom King's writing, I'm willing to give it a shot. And if you have a writer like that that's pushing the boundaries and adding like rich story, yeah, it is Mr. Miracle. If you're doing that, you know, you've got something special going on. And been reading that one. Also, I mentioned during our indie episode a few weeks ago about Black Hammer, and that I'm on issue 9 or 10 of that already, but they're starting to like branch out and open up that world a little bit. And I just got a trade paperback of Barbalian from the Red Planet, who is one of the main characters in Black Hammer. So getting her own like spinoff story, and I'm just now breaking into this, but also Jeff Lemire, more Black Hammer stuff from him in that world that is turning out to be pretty cool. Anyway, nice. That's it for me.
Yeah. Well, if you've been listening this far, you're a fan. We appreciate your time. Consider joining our Discord. I mentioned it briefly. Links below, hopefully, in the show notes. If you have something you want to say to us, you can reach out. We've got a hotline now, 662-MAN-FAN-8. Leave us a message. Still looking into a Patreon, so check that out. By the time this comes out, we may have made an announcement because we're recording a couple at a time. But also, yeah, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at 2ManComicBook with the number 2, or Instagram, 2ManComicBookClub with the number 2.
Yeah. I think I want to take these first few pages just because these were like, I remember thinking, okay, issue 1, they set up the plot, you know, now let's see. You know, they've teed off. Let's see what they play on the green. The first 10 pages of this did some really cool stuff, and really just issue 2 in general. I really like this one. So we start off and we're looking through some binoculars here, and we see Natasha, who, if you remember, is now in California, seems to be living a different life. The Avengers didn't know where she was, and Hawkeye and the Winter Soldier found out where she was. And they're spying on her. They're looking from the bushes out in the woods, and they're just kind of trying to figure out what's going on. Why isn't Natasha, who is absolutely capable if she's, you know, aware of what's going on, of getting out of a sticky situation. And they're looking through her giant glass walls, which are super awesome. And she's just like making some coffee, and her, we don't know if it's her boyfriend or husband or whatever their status is, comes up, kind of gives her a kiss on the cheek. They're just living domestic life. And we get some back and forth of Bucky and Hawkeye talking to each other, and they're just kind of like, what's going on here? You know, they're asking the same questions that we are, because this is not at all how most Black Widow comics start, of her just kind of enjoying her Sunday morning coffee. So she states that in her house, James is her husband, I'm guessing. She's like, I'm going to go be in the garage for a little bit. So Hawkeye takes this as a chance to approach her in the garage and just be like, hey, sorry, I was walking in and I couldn't help but notice the bike. He's just kind of like, what is she going to react to, one of her best friends just walking up and do this? And she's like, thanks, I just got it. And they introduce themselves to each other. So it's like, okay, she doesn't know who that is, and she should know who that is. Remember, issue one, they were having a bit of a fight. Like, you know, they're kind of at that level. So having some back and forth, and he's giving her, like, plenty of opportunities to, like, blink, say something if you're trapped or being here held against your will. And she's not biting on any of that. She thinks this is just a dude who's walking by, checking out her bike, being friendly neighborhood. And the big bombshell of these moments is that while they're talking, you know, having a nice conversation, you hear this squeaking door open up, and they look over, and this little redheaded boy who looks strikingly look like Natasha comes out the door wearing a shark suit. Mm-hmm. And it's a little baby. He looks like he's just learned how to walk. And Hawkeye's like, you have a son. And his name is Little Stevie. And he's like, he's beautiful. And you get this scene of him peeking through to the camera almost of Black Widow putting her forehead on her son like this. And husband comes out, and there's just this moment where he's just kind of like taking it in, like, what is going on? He plays it totally cool, as Hawkeye would, but then he just leaves, and he's kind of walking back and goes to the bush, and he's like, man, Bucky, there's a baby. It looks just like her. I don't know what's going on, but I honestly don't know if this is something we should be rescuing her from. Yeah. And suddenly it's way more weight, I think, to it. Just like context of like, oh, not only did we miss her for 3 months, but she doesn't know who Bucky is, which makes us believe that she doesn't even know who she is. She has amnesia.
Yeah.
We don't know. But anyway, if you want to take us through some of the next panels.
Then we jump over, and she's like full picture of her within a nice like cocktail dress, mm-hmm. getting ready, and they're talking to the babysitter, because apparently there's something going on tonight, so they need a babysitter. Helen, I can't remember if they introduce her here or later, but anyway, just given the typical emergency numbers on the fridge, we'll be back, blah blah blah, help yourself to food. But at one point, she's a Black Widow is like looking at the baby. Well, Natasha.
It's similar to the scene we just saw, yeah, with Hawkeye.
But Helen, the babysitter, is eyeing him really, really
suspiciously.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going trying to be subtle and say, yeah, I got your nose.
Oh, sorry.
All right. So 14 minutes. I need to cut that. All right. Actually, I'm going to make a note of that since I'm stopped. I was just like trying to be subtle.
Yeah. I thought you were like adjusting your seat. I was like, what is he doing?
14.
Still got to work on my mic technique.
I really think that if we had another set of headphones, you'd kind of hear it.
Right.
Be aware of it. I just never do anything about it. Okay. Boom. Yeah. So Helen's looking at it. She thinks something. She's looking at it as if she's suspicious, which automatically made me suspicious of her.
Right.
Then we turn and we're back in Arcade's labyrinth with all of his computer monitors. And he's talking to the people, and he's like, we got a problem. Two of them. And because the cameras have picked up Hawkeye and Bucky. And the voices are saying, just like, no, don't do anything about it right now. So I think that's, I don't think we get anything else.
Not much.
And then somebody's like, do you recognize the babysitter? And somebody says, everybody says no.
Right.
So then we're back downtown at their event or whatever, and it looks like it's over. And I can't remember, what was his name? Did we figure it out? Not that it's all that important, but the fiance.
James.
Okay, James, yeah. That's right. James is done, or they're done, and James is going in to get some work done, I guess. And she's headed home. So she's about to get in the car, and she hears somebody, hears a scuffle. And for some reason, her instinct is to go investigate. And she sees a couple ruffians trying to, they're holding on to a girl. And she's just like, oh, what have I walked into? But instantly just jumps in. She like rips her dress so that she has more range of motion and just starts fighting these. She like yanks off her necklace and just starts spinning it like a bola.
Yeah.
And just like cuts a guy's face with it and just starts fighting all these people. And we have this the whole time. It keeps cutting into like a shot of her face. Like, what am I doing? How do I know this?
Yeah. Like it even, I really appreciate like the inner monologue panels as she's walking. She's like, this is insane. What am I doing? Call 911 and get the hell out of here, Nat. What have I walked into? Oh gosh. Like she's like living this thing and narrating it and asking herself these questions the whole time. Like, why am I doing this?
Yeah. But eventually it's all taken care of. She even like grabs this guy's knife and stabs his hand to the wall.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
And then somebody pulls a gun and she like breaks his arm, and then she calls 911 after everybody's subdued, the girls run off. She gets home and Helen's at the door and she's like, everything okay? Because like her dress is destroyed, and she was like, oh yeah, I got caught in the house or in the car door. And she goes in, and we meet their little black cat named Logan. So all these names seem familiar.
Yeah, we have James, Stevie, and Logan suddenly as the husband, baby, and cat, respectively.
And she goes in to check her kid, and then we see, apparently they also have some, that arcade, or well, we don't know. Sorry, gave that away. Somebody's looking on a monitor.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I saw this and I kind of recognized him. I don't know if we should go into who it is yet.
I think that the writers assume that most people would know who that is if you're somewhat of a normal comic book reader. So you can go ahead and say who it is.
I forgot his name, but I knew who he is.
It's a Red Guardian.
Red Guardian, that's right, yeah. And they've got Black Widow and Red Guardian have some history. And
yeah,
they'll explain a little bit of that later. So she's just wandering around. And she takes a little baby monitor because the baby, she wants to keep an eye on it. She goes into the garage and she's tinkering with some stuff and with wires and diodes and all capacitors and stuff. Looks down. She was like, what have I done? I made a bomb. Why? And that's how the issue ends. So she's like, her hands went on autopilot and she made a bomb.
Yeah. So it's like, how. It's real interesting. This was an interesting choice. I kind of let it go with it. I could, if I think about it too much, be confused by it. But she essentially, like, her muscle memory is kicking in, even though she doesn't know that she lived this life. Like, the Black Widow is so ingrained into her everything that she was able to defend herself. She saved somebody without even knowing she wanted to or could. Yeah. And now she's like tucking her baby in, and her subconscious almost is like, let's make this bomb. And we learn later what it's for, but you know, you can guess. But a little creepy for her to like tuck a child in and then go make a bomb out of the baby monitor radio. And end of issue two. Definitely one of my favorites that we will cover over today's episode and next week's. Just more context is always nice. Like, we're kind of feel like we're settling into this world a little bit more. But anyway, I think we'll take a quick break, and then we will jump into issue 3 before we do some two-man trivia. We'll be right back. And we're back with issue 3 of Black Widow. Just in case I didn't get the full team earlier, I'm going to say it again. Kelly Thompson's the writer. Elena Casagrande is the artist. Jordi Belair did the colors. VC's Corey Pettit did the letters. And Adam Hughes is the cover artist, with Jen Bartel and Annie Wu doing some variant covers. I'm going to start with this one. The first two pages of this are nice detail work. If you want to get a little more context of just what her life is like with James and Steve, Natalie's husband and son, and just
fiance at this point.
Fiance. Yes, that's right. That's important. We get just some normal life, more settling us in the world that whatever life she's in, whether we know how she got here or not, she's happy. We get back outside though, and we see Bucky and Hawkeye, rather, I almost said Steve, are either still out here in the woods after what has to have been several days, or they've come back for more retcon. I'm going to assume they came back, unless they're just like, well, we're sleeping in this bush until we figure this out. Mm-hmm. But they're basically like, they're stuck. They're like, what are we going to do? We can't pull her out of here. She's so happy. We can't ruin her life. That kid seems to be hers. Maybe, we don't know. And they're just trying to figure out what to do. And then suddenly Yelena Belova shows up. And if you don't know who that is, she is another Red Room graduate that graduated from the same assassin program from the USSR era Soviet Union that Natasha did. She shows up and they're like surprised. She's been an enemy and an ally to Natasha throughout the comic history of the characters. And she basically reveals that she was the babysitter, and that's where she was given that look, and she can confirm that she tested the DNA and the child is hers, which is perplexing because Natasha's only been gone for 3 months. And as much as we know here on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast about how long it takes to make a baby, we think after some research that it takes longer than 3 months. So they're freaking out. They're not sure what to do. But Yelena's like, I'm going to stay and keep watch. If things continue to change, I'll let you know. And they think about stopping her and it doesn't really go. So pan over to San Francisco. Natalie right now, but it's Natasha, is trying on a wedding dress, and she's just sitting there crying. And then Helen, aka Yelena, that we just met, shows up again in her babysitter disguise and is just kind of like feeling her out, like, sorry, are you okay? What's going on? And Natalie keeps saying, like, I just have this perfect life. I don't know why I'm so upset or why I'm crying. I have nothing more that I can ask for. And she's like, well, maybe it's not as perfect as it seems. And they're just going back and forth, and basically she kind of cheers up and says, I'm not going to waste any of these moments. But we do get a sense of Natasha just saying, like, even though all of these things are awesome, I have this dream job, this dream home, this dream family, something feels like it's missing from my life. And then we pan back to Arcade's control room.
Mm-hmm. We finally get to see some of the people that were on the monitors, and they go ahead and help us out by introducing them all. So we've got Viper, aka Madam Hydra. Then there's Arcade, which we've already seen. And Weeping Lion 2.0. I'm going to read this real quick.
Yeah.
Arcade, his subtitle is Tech and Game Genius, Criminal Mastermind, and Jerk. Weeping Lion 2.0? ? Two cousins dead by the Black Widow's hand, now something else entirely.
He's the most obscure that I have no history with, yeah, really, in general. That was just a package I got.
Yeah. Then we have Snapdragon, who's an assassin, among other things. And then Red Guardian, a.k.a. Alexei Shostakov, Russian agent, former enemy, ally, and husband of Black Widow. So that's the one that we saw not too long ago watching her with the baby.
Right.
So they're basically just saying, like, the entire point of this is for none of us to ever be there. And we just kind of jump in. They're like, well, things change. But basically, they're just arguing over, when do we get to kill her? And somebody's saying, well, I've got something in action already. You know, mm-hmm. Was it the Red Lion or the Lion guy?
Yeah.
Oh, he says at one point, he's like, she murdered us. Oh, he's just talking about those two. I was thinking everybody around the table might have died at some point.
No, they're like, I think I did a little research. This Weeping Lion 2.0 mm-hmm. is probably a deep cut from her history of mm-hmm. her comics. But something about, like, the two versions before, like, died, and then somehow they merged their bodies. Okay. So there's multiple.
I didn't realize that whenever he it was the plural. I thought he was talking about everybody around the table.
I did originally.
It is
too.
Just him. So basically, he has gone behind everybody and sent in his goons to just kill her, even though that wasn't the plan.
Right. He's tired of watching her live this lovely life. He wants her dead.
Yeah. And then Viper, she's like, "You fool, you've murdered us all," because I think they feel like she's going to somehow remember, get triggered or something like that.
Right.
And, but he's just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And then before too long, we're going to see some action.
I will say this Viper, Madame Hydra, if you watched Captain or Falcon and the Winter Soldier recently, she was just played by Seinfeld.
Oh, okay.
That's her.
Got it.
What's her name? That actress's name that plays
Elaine Benes.
Elaine.
Just kidding.
She's Elaine from Seinfeld.
It's on the tip of my tongue. I'll.
You look while I'm talking about this sweet comic book. So, Natasha pulls back up. Sorry, Natalie. I guess they're one and the same. Pulls back up to her house, and it's funny. She has her dress like belt buckled down. Yeah.
Julie Louis Dreyfus.
That's it. Louis Dreyfus always throws me off. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she's playing Madame Hydra. Except they haven't said that's her name yet. Name is you, but it's her. Anyway, Natalie comes home. She's got her dress buckled onto the back of her bike, which is not the best way to transport a wedding dress, I'm told. Mm-hmm. And she even comments like, well, let's see if this dress shakes out. Who would have known that I'd be riding at home on a bike? And she says, or this is not her saying, this is just inner monologue. She's walking up to the house with the dress, and she's like, wait, something's wrong. Her like son's toys are kind of like knocked over in the front yard, and she stares at it, and she kind of comments to herself in her mind or her monologue like, I'm oddly calm, oddly sharp right now, like I'm ready for something. And she goes in, she's calling for James. She's like, are you here? And she's like, this feels like the other night in the alley. Just commenting on her status right here, and I got like chills almost from this. The smear of blood on the wall runs my own blood cold. Part of me knows they're dead already. And she says that after seeing some blood on the wall. For somebody who doesn't remember her previous life, to just see that and have those thoughts, mm-hmm. it kind of speaks to the tortured past of Black Widow that's like deeply rooted in her subconscious. So she grabs a clothes hanger and goes into the next room and just... the goons attack. Mm-hmm. So she starts fighting. This is very reminiscent of the opening scene in the hallway from issue one. She's handling all of them. We see her. It looks like she takes the... this is gnarly. She takes the clothes hanger, puts it in one of the dude's mouth, hooks it through his cheek, and then rips it out. And then she goes and picks up a knife. She starts stabbing. There's a lot of blood in this panel. I'll just leave it for that. Mm-hmm. She ends this again by throwing one of the kitchen knives through this guy's hand, pinning him to the wall. She completely handles herself. And then on one of the guy's walkie-talkies, she hears Russian. And she's like, I know Russian. She's thinking this the whole time. And she's hearing, kill them now. And suddenly she's worried for James and Stevie at this point. So she takes the guy. She starts speaking Russian into the walkie-talkie. We don't know what she says. But she gets up on top of the cabinet and while emptying clips into this guy off to the side, picks up that homemade bomb that she'd hidden in her air vents for a rainy occasion, just like this one. And she's like, my homemade smoke detector bomb. Is this why I made it? So again, it's like her subconscious is almost taking care of her, even though she's not there. So now she's outside scaling this wall to try to get around to her family. She takes a nail gun that she had in the garage, blasts down this window, takes out this other guy, gets in there like super action film, Mission Impossible style, gets around her family, and she's like, babe, I don't think I'm just an architect. And he's like, yeah, I'm getting that. Seemingly has saved her family, and then there's these hyper sparks flinging out of her neck, and she just like passes out.
Yeah.
And honestly, with how this leaves, it looks like she's dead, and then the comic ends. Boom.
Then we do see we're back in Arcade's room right at the last panel.
Yes, it doesn't end yet. Sorry.
Viper is saying, you better hope the process kills her or she won't have to kill you. I'll do it myself.
Right. And then so, it's over. My bad, it doesn't end on the one I said.
This really does look like the
final. It looks like a final page, but it's just a splash page, I guess. Yeah. But they're watching her, and yeah, like Drew said, she's like, you better hope that actually works, because if not, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to kill you. So that was a heavy one, too. That, what was that issue? That was three?
Yes.
Yeah, we did two and three. I like two more, I think, just for the setup, but there's definitely some cool action and some more of her starting to, like, realize what her skill sets are, even if she doesn't know exactly who she is yet. What did you think of it?
Yeah, it was. I had a feeling eventually something was going to happen where it all comes back to her,
mm-hmm.
and I was not wrong, and she did.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't catch the coat hanger thing. I was like, what is going on? Obviously, she's given some dude a bad weekend, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a gnarly way to hurt somebody. A coat hanger through the cheek. Don't mess with Black Widow, I guess, is what we're learning here.
Yeah.
Anyway, unless you have some closing thoughts.
I mean, I have plenty of clothing thoughts.
What are your thoughts on general clothing?
I'm in favor of it.
Yeah. Wearing clothes are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for whenever you're in the shower. That's not advisable.
We're going to take a quick break and come back with some two-man trivia. We'll be right back. And we're back with two-man trivia, where our trivia questions are faster than the instincts that Natasha finds herself naturally coming back to her in times of need. Pretty instant. Who went first last time? Was it me?
I mean, it was so long ago, but I don't remember.
I think it was me. I'm going to let you go first this time.
Okay. Let's just go with the old standby.
Mm.
First appearance.
First appearance of Black Widow?
Yes. You can tell you what, this will be another twofer.
Okay.
You can give me the comic book slash number or the year.
So comic book slash number is one collective answer. Okay. Yeah. I think I know the comic book. I don't know if I know the number. I'll give that one a go though, because I don't remember the year.
I mean, you can go for both.
Okay. Is it Tales of Suspense?
It is.
Okay.
You have a guess for the number?
I'm going to guess 41.
No.
Dang.
Let's see how close you get on the other one. Maybe I can like
of the year
put some points, half points together to give you a point.
Maybe 1951.
I'm sorry, no.
Dang.
So I'm going to give you a half a point.
Okay.
It is Tales of Suspense, correct. Okay. Number 52.
Ah.
From 1964.
Dang, I was way off on the year.
It's okay.
Cool. I think I remember seeing somewhere that it was a Tales of Suspense, which is where a lot of Marvel characters got their origin from. It's always a safe guess. A Tales of Suspense. Cool. I've got a fun one for you that is multiple choice. Just name two of these things. There are several possibilities. I want you to name two. This is from also Marvel.com about the character. Natasha, a.k.a. Black Widow, knows several fighting styles. Can you name two of the actual styles of fighting that she knows? I'll give you two errors before you have to stop.
My first guess is Krav Maga.
No.
Dang it. I feel like she would know Krav Maga. It's really popular nowadays.
Right.
But whatever.
I would say you've probably for sure heard of, I have five possibilities here. I think you would have heard of at least four. One of them that I had never heard of.
Judo?
That's one. If you get one more, you get both points. If you miss one more, you have to stop guessing. So I guess it's your last guess, no matter what.
I have a joke answer.
Yeah.
Capoeira.
No.
Brazilian dance fighting.
No.
That's the same thing.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu?
No. But you still get a point.
Okay.
The five fighting styles that are listed are judo, aikido, karate, savate, I'd never heard of, and boxing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I almost went with karate, but I was like, that was just too on the nose.
Yeah, I guess that is a type of...
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of the bag of things that you pull out of. But yeah, interesting one that I didn't know.
So I have looked it up. 2 points.
You do.
You have 1.5.
It's coming down to the wire, folks.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts before you wrap this episode up?
No.
I'm sure everybody's going to love hearing they're going to like shake their phone. Like, what's wrong with this thing?
No, I don't think so. Sorry, these episodes, these Black Widow episodes are running a little short. Hope you guys don't mind, but that's just what happens.
It'd be like that sometimes. We're just getting efficient.
They're shorter comics anyway.
Yeah. Cool. Well, once again, like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Leave a comment anywhere that you can view these podcasts. If you leave a 5-star, we'll make sure to give you a shout out and read it on the podcast. Follow us on social media. You can find me at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because I am Batman. Drew, where can they find you?
Drew Morris Comp on Twitter, Drew Morris Composer elsewhere. Also be awesome for you to connect with us with our two-man account, Two-Man Comic Book with the number 2 on Twitter, Two-Man Comic Book Club on Facebook and Instagram. If you will have something you'd like to talk about, comment, question, whatever, why don't you give the Two-Man Comic Book hotline a call at 66-2-MAN-FAN-8 and join our Discord. Links somewhere. And Patreon coming soon.
Can't wait for that. Like, truly can't wait to engage with everybody. Cool. We'll be back next week with the final 2 issues that we have access to on Marvel Unlimited, issues 4 and 5 of Black Widow.
The arc does wrap up.
Yeah.
I mean, it keeps going, but it's a decent stopping point.
Yeah. Really like these 2 coming up, so you're not going to want to miss that. We'll see you guys next time. Peace. The Two-Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our guy in the chair is Torrance Watkins. Logos and design work are by Tessa Price. Original theme music and compositions are by Drew Morris.
Are you ready, kids?
Okay.